Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to this special report, an answer to America's broken system. Most Americans agree the violent confrontation between the alt-right and the cultural Marxists is serious, dangerous, and getting worse. Understanding economics, cultural differences, and the acceptance of authoritarianism is required to find the answer to the crisis. Rejecting a society based on personal liberty led to the conflict we are now witnessing. Replacing authoritarianism with voluntarism must be our goal. The immoral use of government force caused this crisis, and expanding it will only increase the hatred between the two sides. Though there are leaders on both sides promoting violence, large numbers are attracted to the raging culture war for emotional reasons, in response to the lies and the incitement by those whose ulterior motive is seeking power, wealth, and promoting a dangerous New World Order. One side has been labeled the alt-right, the other cultural Marxism. The right would like to reduce the debate to the differences between communism and a populist government that emphasizes caring for Americans over foreigners. The left would have us believe it's merely a conflict with supporters of racism and injustice and cultural Marxism. Neither side speaks of liberty. The alt-right is made up of conservatives, populists, and pro-white enthusiasts, but all are labeled Nazis and fascists by the left. Some are just fed up with the false charges and the penalties toward whites by leftist races and the extremism of political correctness. The vicious labeling of all those who are frustrated and who join with those who are angry as Nazis and racists is only for the purpose of creating chaos. The left demands that all Trump supporters fit into this category. This is the strategy for fomenting race riots and civil war. No doubt, Trump makes himself vulnerable to these inaccurate and wild charges by his enemies. The left promotes cultural Marxism and class warfare, yet there are fellow travelers who represent typical liberal activists, progressives, and white haters. Many on the left generally despise any minority who chooses to be a conservative or libertarian. To many on the left, minorities are only important when their votes can be corralled. From their viewpoint, a minority's well-being and success must come only from benefiting from doctrines promoted by forced wealth redistribution by the liberal left. It's all about control. It's cynical racism. The philosophic issues that divide us are what matters. Both sides accept the principle of government aggression as a proper tool of government. Neither side understands how true freedom leads to the prosperity that both sides pay lip service to. Neither side understands the shortcomings of deceptive, short-lived prosperity that comes with government deficits and monetary inflation, which always ends badly, especially for the people that are supposed to be benefiting by government welfare spending. The ending of such a period of artificial wealth is now apparent, and since it's not understood by either side of the current raging conflict, both are proposing different government solutions with sharp disagreements in the blame game. Both sides claim patriotic loyalty and ownership of the American tradition. Neither group cares about what the Constitution says. Both sides support America's world empire, its militarism, the military-industrial complex, and the horribly dangerous Bush doctrine of preemptive war. Neither side condemns our aggression or foreign interventionism. There is extensive support by both for economic planning by government, though in different degrees and for different purposes. This means no complaints about protectionism, Federal Reserve power, or subsidies to the special interest groups. For our bipartisan leaders, it's only who gets to distribute the loot that matters. Identity politics has taken over in forming alliances. This encourages lying, race preferences, demagoguery, and inciting hatred. Since the concept of liberty is something that applies to individuals rather than special interest groups, it is therefore rejected. Liberty is not something that can be distributed according to the various groups that claim victimization and a right to other people's earnings. The tool used, especially by the far left, is extreme political correctness that regulates speech by claiming hateful motivation by anyone with whom they disagree. These charges are inevitably spread with a broad brush by a complicit media. Both types of authoritarianism, left and right, purposely divide people by natural and acceptable differences. Pursuing the cause of liberty unites all those who honestly seek peace and prosperity in distinction from those who resort to authoritarianism, divisiveness. Both sides will fail with their half-hearted efforts to thwart an escalation of violence and the destruction of the middle class. Neither side will face up to the economic reality of a deeply flawed economic system and the pending collapse of the American empire. Sadly, neither side complains about the danger of the Bush doctrine of preemptive war and decisions being made to go to war without congressional approval. The dependency on deficit spending and the monetary mischief of the Fed is self-limiting. The bills are now coming due, and the political chatter associated with the current social strife serves to distract from the philosophic impurities from which we have been infected for many decades. The number of enemies that we have generated by our foreign policy is ignored, and the problem made worse by our economic and military meddling around the world. Our inability to pay our bills and meet our unfunded liabilities will be the limiting factor for the current system to continue. This causes the beneficiaries of thousands of different special interest groups to become nervous, fearful, and more violent as this recognition becomes more apparent. Since the liberty solution is not seriously considered, the current street fighting and social strife will continue. Both sides support government authoritarianism in general and only argue over the details of what, when, where, and how their orders will be carried out. The police are rarely helpful in quieting the mobs aroused by individuals on both sides whose goals are to create chaos and confrontation while pinning the blame on the other side. Currently, the left, motivated by reckless rhetoric and supported with media bias, is using every chance it gets to incite hatred toward the right while blaming it for the violence when it breaks out. Under these circumstances, those who have lost the most in recent elections are the angriest and the most desperate, and making them the most prone to initiating violence. It's not infrequent that city and state authorities who are sympathetic to the Antifa cause will have the police stand down from their responsibility for preventing violence and permitting it to occur. Also, the police are frequently sympathetic to the extreme right when enforcing laws dealing with minorities in the dangerous ongoing and wholly useless drug war, as well as for the enforcement of immigration laws. The fact that the police are overly militarized influences their responses on both sides, and depending to whom the police are responsible, frequently decides which side gets the protection. The fundamental flaw in our society is that overly intrusive government sets the stage for the ever-increasing street clashes. This support comes from the endorsement and tolerance of government violence in running our lives, our economy, and the affairs of other nations. This is the principle that has brought us to where we are today: a failed economic system, social discord driven by racial, class, and social group identities, as well as a fragile empire that is unaffordable despised by many nations around the world that we oppress. It appears that all groups, both right and left, vying for power, resort to excessive nationalism or globalism, offering cliches and panaceas as solutions, combined with political arrogance while ignoring the necessary ingredient of liberty. Most of the many Democratic and Republican political leaders I've met over the years were all subject to a dose of sociopathy. Though they were intellectual differences, various personalities, and many loyalties to different members of the deep state, they were devoid of shame and incapable of admitting the truth about how their policies had systematically destroyed millions of lives. Both sides would argue that their motives are beyond reproach, thus justifying everything they do. Many are good people, lying to themselves, which in turn makes it easier to lie to the people from whom they need support and moral sanctions. Their decisions in deciding which goals they sought may be quite clear and varied, but the tool of coercion to cancel out personal liberties were identical. Both groups were capable of stirring up fear and anger, all in the name of supernationalism, patriotism with militarism superimposed, and of course, with their false allegiance to the Constitution, freedom, peace, and prosperity. Spinning, demagoguery, and lying all come naturally and are necessary, especially for those who gain significant political power as party leaders. However, only the principles of liberty offer the solution. All those who want to participate in a peaceful society must reject violence as a tool to satisfy one's own desires. It is mandatory that we see all people as individuals deserving of their natural right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of their own dreams. Liberty cannot be ignored. When truth is revealed to the few, they speak out and admit where they had gone wrong. That was certainly General Smedley Butler's response to his discovery in 1935 that due to all the wars in which he had been engaged, he finally realized that war is a racket. For others, their epitaph will simply claim, "But I meant well." Others will know, but will refuse to admit that I meant well for myself and my crony supporters, and we all did well. Only philosophy and ideas can bring about a positive change to the mess in which we find ourselves. The philosophy is found in liberty and in the idea of non-aggression. Thank you very much for tuning into this special report. Please come back soon.